Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, who gave his life for us. Our reading today for our consideration from 1 John, the third chapter, a part of our epistle reading, John writes, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Well, here is your big word for the day. It's the word epistemology. Epistemology is the philosophical study of the nature, the origins, and the limits of knowledge. Or you might say it's the study of how we know things. You know, so, for example, if I take a straight straw and I stick it into a glass of water, the straw appears to bend. But how do I know that the straw didn't actually bend? Just because the straw is straight when it's out of the water, is that reason enough to think that when it goes into the water, it doesn't actually bend? And why should I prefer one belief over the other? How do I know? That's the kind of stuff, I'm at a much more important level than that, I guess, but the kind of stuff epistemologists concern themselves with. By the way, do you know how many epistemologists it takes to change a light bulb? The answer is, there's no way to know. Apparently it's very little epistemological humor. But according to St. John, apparently God has some kind of interest in the discipline of epistemology because there's something he wants you to know, and he wants you to know why you know it. This is how we know, is what the New International Version says, which is a very epistemological thing to say. This is how we know. And what he wants us to know, of course, is what love is. This is how we know what love is. Or in the English Standard Version, by this we know love. Now, in the song Crazy in Love, Beyoncé and JC say, this is how we know what love is. It's the beat that my heart skips when I'm with you. Yeah, well, maybe. But tell your cardiologist that your heart skipped a beat and you might get yourself an EKG. Because how do you know? You know, how do you know if it's love or a cardiac arrhythmia? How do we really know what love is? And it is a serious question. Because we live in a world that is very confused about the nature of love. And I think we're so confused about what love is because we are also confused about what freedom is. In our secular popular culture, freedom is the license to throw off all restraints and any responsibility to anyone else and to abandon yourself to every whim and desire of your flesh. And if that's what freedom is, then of course love means that you must grant me that license, because obviously it would not be a very loving thing for you to do to impede my freedom. That would be hateful and bigoted. So we see how Satan confuses us by playing with the meaning of words, such that freedom has now come to mean a license to live a licentious life any way I want, without restraint. Therefore, love means that you must grant me that license without resistance. That's how the world knows what love is. You tolerate it. You don't resist at all. And then, of course, hatefulness is anything that you do or say that would impede my licentious life or make me feel bad about it in any way. So it's a very, very confused world that we live in. And John's words today, this is how we know what love is, then, are as timely and as important and as pertinent as they have ever been. Saint John wants to bring crystal clarity to this question for us as the sheep of Christ's fold. And here comes that crystal clarity that we need. This is how we know what love is, that He laid down His life for us. And now we start to see why this epistle reading shows up in the Easter season. We see the connection to Good Friday and Easter. God's love for humanity became tangible in the life and the death and the resurrection of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. God enacted love. He did something. This is how we know what love is, that He laid down His life for us. Now, the hired hand, of course, trades work for wages. He doesn't care anything about the sheep. He's not going to lay down His life for the sheep, certainly. He's just in it for the pay. The Good Shepherd, however, lives and dies to redeem His flock in love. For Christ, love is lived. It is an action that is driven by compassion and a heart for doing what needs to be done to help the sheep in their greatest need, even if it means dying for them. Love for Jesus is not about granting us a license to do whatever we want. It is about redeeming us and reconciling us to our Creator because we were doing what we wanted in licentious rebellion against God. This is how we know what love is. Love isn't granting license, the license we think we want and need, to live by our whims. Love always addresses the true need. Just like love for an alcoholic does not mean giving them the license to continue their behaviors and enabling their lifestyle, but love wants to give the alcoholic what they truly need. They want to redeem them from that way of life, liberate them from alcoholism. It's risky, it's tough, but because the alcoholic doesn't think they want that. But this is what St. John means when he says, "Let us love in truth." Love that grants a license to sin is a lie, because it only drives a person deeper into their bondage, like giving an alcoholic a gift card to the liquor store. But to love someone in truth means that you seek to address their true need, just as the Good Shepherd did when He laid down His life for us on the cross. Now, we didn't ask for Him to do that. We didn't even know we needed it. We didn't want it. But He loved us that way anyway, because He knew that the love we needed in truth was redemption, liberation from our sins, a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. And thus Jesus met our true need. He loved us in truth. He loved us in action, laying down His life as the sacrifice, and He loved us in truth, meeting our need for forgiveness and life and salvation. And this is how we know what love is. And because of what our Good Shepherd did for us, now not only do we know what love is, but now we also know how to love. As John says, "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." You see, our belief in Jesus Christ cannot be separated from how and whom we love. Indeed, our love for Jesus is revealed precisely when we lay down our lives for someone else, especially when we lay down our lives for those who don't want our love, who are our enemies. And whenever we lay down our life for another, we give them a little piece of us, of our life. When you do that, you proclaim that Christ's resurrection is not just some distant event in the past. It is a present, potent, living reality. And the only reason that we can ever lay down our life for another is because Jesus first laid down His life for us. The shepherd never takes his sheep somewhere that he himself is not willing to go. He never asks his sheep to give something that he himself is not willing to give. And every time we lay down our life for another, We reflect Jesus' death and resurrection for us. This is what we do as the sheep of his pasture. We follow our good shepherd and we imitate his love. And the opportunities for laying down your life for others in love are everywhere around you. You don't have to go very far. Look at the family and the friends that you see every day and lay down your life for them. They are the people of this parish and of our communities. They are the strangers who pass through your life. They are those anonymous ones that we talk about as issues of poverty and hunger, homelessness and education. The opportunities for laying down your life in love are not circumstances, they are people. Human beings created in the likeness of God whose true need, whether they know it or not, is to be free from the shackles of sin and to be at peace with God. Now, of course, the world does not understand that kind of love. To the world, love is license. And the kind of love that sets people free from sin, returns them to God, they don't understand that. They interpret that call to love, that kind of love, as hatefulness and bigotry. So indeed, right now, there is a push for this so-called Equality Act that adds people of all kinds of sexual identities and preferences to those who are protected under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. But there are no protections for churches or schools like ours, or individuals who believe that deviating from God's plan for the sexes is sinful and it's a break with God. And that the way to address that need is not to give them license under the law, but to call them to repentance and to the cross of Jesus and to their good shepherd. But that is becoming more and more of a dicey thing to do in our day. If you dare call somebody to repentance and suggest that they need to change, that's considered hateful and intolerant and discriminatory and bigoted. That's because they don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. And thus they don't understand the true nature of freedom, and they don't understand the true nature of love. Good shepherd kind of love that lays down its life to try to draw people back into his fold. And of course, this is going to add a whole new dimension to what it means for us to lay down our lives in love for others. It is getting more and more risky to love others in truth, not as they want to be loved, but to love them in truth as we try to address the greatest need that this world has, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God. And we're going to be hated for trying to do that, even as Jesus was hated. But that is going to be more and more a part of what it means for us to lay down our lives in love for others in our world now. It means that we will be willing to be hated in this world in order to risk loving someone as they truly need to be loved. As Jesus said, you're going to be hated by all because of me. But it is the one who endured to the end who will be saved. And that's the good news, isn't it? Laying down your life in love for another is not the end of life. It wasn't for Jesus, and it sure won't be for us. But rather, that's the beginning of a whole new kind of life, a much more authentic life, a life that looks so much more like the life of Jesus, our shepherd. It is the life in which we hear the voice of our good shepherd calling our name and then following wherever he leads us, regardless of the cost in this world. Because where he is ultimately leading us, of course, as we said in Psalm 23, is to dwell in his house forever. And that's what sets us free in Christ. To love people in action by helping them in their human need, and then to love them in truth by addressing their greatest need for the shepherd who laid down their life for them, who yearns to gather them into his flock forever. You heard that in the gospel reading. I have other sheep who are not of this pen. I want to bring them in as well. in Christ, we now know what love is, don't we? And now we know what love does. And this is how we know that He, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for others. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus, our Good Shepherd, unto life everlasting. Amen.